Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Hello, everyone. This is Higher Ground Financial Group. My name is Imran Rasby, and this is Daniel Rasby, tax attorney.
Hello.
And we want to talk about several different things. Thank you for joining us today.
And if you want to talk to us one-on-one on a video call, our website is riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com. We call it that because those are the three biggest killers in retirement. We want to reduce and eliminate all three of those killers to give you the best result in retirement.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening with these days. I mean, there's a divergence of things that normally work together that are working separately. You got the unemployment, where the U.S. government says the unemployment is like 2.4%. Well, the actual unemployment, which includes people that have stopped looking for work, people that are working gig jobs, meaning that they're very much underemployed.
Or just poverty level jobs. Maybe they're full time, but they're below the poverty line because of minimum wage.
So they're being supported by the government and other things. So it's a net drain on the economy. Those add up to about 24%. And these are not our numbers. They're from CBS News last year. And it's actually worse now because we've had huge layoff from Amazon, huge layoff from UPS, from restaurants. It's getting worse. The last time it was this bad, it was a little bit worse. It was back in the Great Depression. One in three people were out of a job. We're unemployed.
Wow.
Now it's one in four. So it's getting close.
And that's happening at the same time as the market continued to hit all-time highs again and again.
So what's happening there is, well, a couple things are happening. One is AI is driving that market growth, right? 90% of the market growth is because of AI. The problem is the same thing that happened. Well, let me put it this way. When we wanted to go to the moon, we didn't care how much we spent. We just want to beat the Russians. You got to beat the Russians. I don't care what we spend. And that's kind of the same thing when you're going into a new technology like AI. Same thing happened during the dot-com. It was the internet. They wanted to be first. And they didn't care how much money they spend to be first. Because if you're first, you get to control the environment.
And the ones that were second and third spent all that money and then went bankrupt because
right.
They couldn't get the market share. And that's what's going to happen with AI. It feels a lot like the dot-com bubble. People tell me when I say that, this feels like the dot-com bubble. We're going to have a crash. They're like, well,
yeah.
I mean, AI is here to stay. AI is here to stay. I was like, yes, it is. So was the internet,
yep.
Right? 30 years later, the internet is still going strong, bigger than ever before. It's you can't live without it. But most of those companies that drove that internet bubble back in the early 2000s, late 90s, most of those went belly up. That doesn't mean the technology itself was a fad. I don't think AI is a fad. I think some of the uses of AI are going to be fads. I think people are going to still want personal interaction at some level eventually. But the AI itself as a productivity tool is going to always be here 20, 30, 40 years from now, I would imagine. But that doesn't mean the short-term bubble is not going to pop.
So where's all this money coming from? Well, during the AI bubble, what happened was we had the roaring 90s. Huge amount of
content. Internet bubble.
It was the internet bubble, but it was
the AI bubble.
Sorry. The internet bubble. We had the roaring 90s, huge amount of growth in the stock market, huge amount of profits with the Reagan's trickle-down economics that really gave the U.S. economy a great boost. All that money was spent in the AI bubble and just spent through it very fast and ran out. And the same thing's happening now. We have all this money that came into the U.S. during Trump's last time he was president because he lowered the tax rates for companies to bring the money back into the U.S. In fact, if you guys remember, Apple brought in like a $1.3 or $1.4 trillion in cash from overseas because they saved money on taxes. Well, that money has been spent on AI. All these companies are spending money on AI. They're running out. And the same thing that happened during dot-com. They started running out of money. And there's only if you have so much gas and you have a race to finish, you run out of gas before the race finishes, you're out. You're done. And that's when the crash happens.
Right. So it hasn't happened all into 2025 and the first part of 2026, it did not happen. I mean, we'll see in the future, but there are some things that are not usually correlated together that are happening at the same time. So for example, as the market kept going up, gold was also going up. And usually they go up and down at different times. The market goes up when gold eases off. Maybe it doesn't crash, but it doesn't go down. It goes down a little bit. And then when the market crashes, that's when you see gold shoot up. But in 2025, gold went up by like 70%, yeah, and the market went up now only by 15, 16%. So if you look at, if you price the market in gold, then of course the market seems to have crashed in 2025. That's just because the dollar is getting weaker, and that's continuing to happen.
So why is that happening? Well, the world banks all across the world have been dumping U.S. debt and buying up gold and silver. So the dollar has actually crashed. It was down last year. It's down this year. And that's why gold and silver has gone up. So those are things that normally are counter to the market going up. They usually are stable when the market's up, and then they go up and the market goes down. So that's a little bit strange. And then we got the inflation. You know, inflation, the government keeps telling us only like 2.25%, 2.4%. But all of us feel a little bit differently.
Yeah, when we ask this question in a live room setting, when we do a presentation, I ask everybody to raise their hand if they think the inflation rate was really only 2% last year. And I never see any hands raised.
No.
So is part of that just our impression? Well, I mean, everybody buys different things. And whatever the government seems to be measuring to decide what inflation is doesn't seem to be the things I'm buying anyway.
Yeah, but I've certainly gotten stronger as I got older. You know why? Because now I can carry $100 worth of groceries in one hand.
So, you might get stronger next month. It might be $200 worth of groceries. Yeah.
So one of the things there is, one of the things that drives the inflation is gas prices. Gas prices are actually lower. So why is inflation not really felt lower for the rest of us? Well, one of the reasons is because of the craziness in the economy. The food producers, the manufacturers are hesitant to lower prices because they need to make up some of the money that they lost when the inflation was so high. It always lags. So the deflation is what people are hoping for, and that's not what the government wants. The government does not want deflation. That means when...
So let's talk about that. When the government says if the inflation rate is lower, that doesn't mean inflation is gone. It means things are still going to get more expensive every single year. In order for prices to go down, that is deflation. And that really never happens. Even in what they call a soft landing for the economy, that just means things do not increase in price as fast.
Right.
They're still increasing. They never stop increasing. They don't decrease in price unless there's some major breakthrough in technology or some market disruptor that causes a temporary decrease in certain sectors. It's not going to decrease overall. It's always going to be the same or more expensive in dollars.
And deflation actually is an indicator that the economy is failing. People are not buying things, so there's supply.
Holding money, hoarding cash.
Right. So the supply is much higher and nobody's buying it, so they got lower rates. Government doesn't want that. They don't want the economy to fail. Okay, that's the problem. So the government doesn't really want deflation. And we as the public would love a little bit of deflation because we can afford more things. But at what cost? Because if there's deflation, that means our economy is doing worse. That means everybody else is actually going to be worse.
So let's bring this back into practical tips. You know, what can people do with this information? Because there's a lot of confusing factors out there. With all this unpredictability in the market, inflation, the economy, unemployment, how do you translate that into actionable things that you can do for retirement planning? Well, the first thing you can do is go to our website and talk to us, riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com. But really, the uncertainty is always going to be there.
It is.
You're never going to know exactly what's going to happen. If you do, then you know the future, and then you can make a lot of money because you know exactly what's going to happen. Very, very few, if anybody, actually ever accurately predicts the future with the economy. But what we can say is there will be both good times and bad times coming.
Right.
And for your money, there'll be both good and bad times. There'll be times when inflation is worse and times when it's not so bad. There'll be times when the market is up and when it's down. When precious metals are up and down, when all these things, there's good and bad times for it. So you want to have diversification, and not diversification like most advisors talk about, different stocks and bonds and mutual funds within different sectors of the market. That's all still opinion assets. They can still go up and down with market opinion. You want things that are not correlated at all with each other.
Yeah, there's two main types of diversification that actually you should take a look at. Not a different place in the market. But there's opinion-based assets versus contract-based assets, one type of diversification. Opinion-based assets are the assets that are in the market that are based on somebody else's opinion. Contract-based assets are those that are based on a contract that you know this is what's going to be. And then there is tax diversification where you have money in different accounts that are taxed differently. That's also very important because
right.
They keep changing the tax rules on us, right?
Yeah, I had somebody tell me just the other day, well, you know, I've got this a defense stock, and these new wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible says, these are happening, and the defense stocks are going up and up and up, and it looks like I'm making like 1% every day in my stock. So, you know, what can I do about that? Because I want to protect it, but I don't want to, you know,
miss out.
And so we said, well, look, you have all these defense stocks in your IRA. If your IRA actually goes up the way you think it's going to go up, that's going to be all this deferred taxes. So maybe protect the IRA and put that in something that's protected from loss, has more moderate growth, but then take the brokerage account, because you have money in brokerage, non-qualified, go ahead and buy those defense stocks there. If they go up a lot, all you're paying is capital gains, not income tax. So it's much better for you if it goes up the way you think it's going to go up. And he's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want to pay, you know, 37% income tax on all these growth of my stocks if I could just pay 20% capital gains, or maybe even nothing if I leave it to my kids and they inherit it and they don't pay anything. So tax diversification is very important. Don't have all of your money in IRAs, and don't have all your money in things that can go down. Even things like gold and silver can go down, but there is always a floor. It's always going to be worth something. And whereas a company can actually go completely bankrupt. And we've seen that in the past, you know, so have money in several different places. Real estate is another good place that's not usually correlated. And that's a contract asset if it's rented.
But don't put real estate inside your IRA. We heard that lots and lots of people are trying to sell that. It is a very bad idea to put real estate in IRAs. There's lots of problems. You lose all the benefits of real estate in an IRA. The tax deductions, the depreciation, the step up in basis, all that's gone. And if you turn 73, you got to take RMDs out. And if the rent's not enough, you got to sell something. And it's just not a good idea. So the whole thing is, instead of being frozen or just following the one piece of information that everybody seems to be following, get all the information, get all the different things that you can do, and make a decision based on good information.
So go to our website. Our website is riskfeestaxes.com. Talk to us on a free video call to get our thoughts and get some ideas on what you can do in your situation. Just to make it even more simple, there's a lot of these diversification things we talk about, but you need to have a plan for what to do when these bad things happen. Do not just hope that they don't happen. They will happen. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next month or next year, but there will be something bad that happens financially in the future.
And that doesn't mean go hide in a closet with all your money and hope it passes by. And, you know, no, it's not the boogeyman. There are specific things you can do that you can still grow your money and still protect it in case of a market drop.
And during hard economic times, there are always people that do very well.
Yes.
In the Great Depression, there were companies that did extremely well, made millions, grew every year. In the 2008 financial crisis, there were people that made billions of dollars in profit. It is possible to have yourself positioned in a way that you can take advantage even when things are happening that are not good financially for the average person. You can take advantage of things to improve your situation. So again, our website is riskfeestaxes.com. Talk to us there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.